Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror.
He has killed five and says he's going to kill again.
Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana is a nonprofit, and they receive no government funding. The entire program is run off donations, and they're responsible for the arrest of over 5,000 criminals in Indianapolis. All donations that you make are tax deductible. Hey, help keep Indy safe by donating online at crimetips.org. That's the whole reason, too, that we partnered up with Ashley Flowers. We wanted to kick things off with Murder Monday to try to bring awareness to that and help out. And today, a murder out of a toy store? No, I don't know. It's, what is this, the Ken and Barbie murder?
Yeah, but you guys, before I start, it's Murder Monday's birthday.
It is?
What? We've done this for a year.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
happy,
can you believe it?
No. Happy birthday to you. Wow. Stab, stab, shot, yeah. Shot.
Wow, that is mind-blowing. I think yeah. You are right, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. 1 year of Murder Monday. Can you believe it? Wow.
So I've got a special story to mark the occasion. So today is a kind of strange one, and it is known as the Ken and Barbie killers. Because from all appearances, these two people were like beautiful, idyllic couple that everyone wanted to be. And it's a girl named Carla and a guy named Paul. And Carla was a smart, popular girl in school, lots of fun. Paul seemed to be like a well-adjusted kid. There were like a couple of red flags in his past. Like, he had a history as a young boy of being a peeping Tom, and he was actually caught by the cops once.
Ooh.
But they let him go, and they just kind of had that mindset like, oh, boys will be boys.
Yeah.
And in college, he had a lot of dates, but like not a ton of second dates because he was into a lot of violent stuff sexually.
Yikes.
That would scare off women.
Yeah, that's a red flag.
But both were normal, so no one could have foreseen what would have happened when their worlds collided in 1987. And at this point, Carla is 17 and working for a vet clinic after school. And the vet clinic sends her to this conference in Toronto, Canada, and that's right outside of where Paul lives. And she goes out to dinner one night, and from across the room, she sees Paul. He's gorgeous. They're attracted to one another. He's at this time 23, just graduated college. He's an accountant, young, handsome, good job. He's like a total catch. So the two meet, and within hours, they're in bed together. And from then on, the two start dating. And Carla isn't scared off by Paul's like weird sexual tendencies. She's like fine with the violence, and you might even say she enjoyed it. So you would think that they're like each other's perfect partner, but Paul like wasn't quite satisfied with Carla because he would let her know that she wasn't enough because when they met, she wasn't a virgin. And she didn't want to seem less, so she would make sure she like did anything and everything he ever wanted. But it's something that he would always bring up to her. And it's something that lingered over them. But what Carla didn't know is at the time, Paul was finding his satisfaction for a virgin in other women.
Yikes.
Cheating.
More than cheating. In his spare time, she had no idea about this. He was raping young girls in his neighborhood. He would stalk them outside of bus stations and like learn their routines.
Oh my gosh.
Follow them home. And sometimes he was so bold, he would jump women as they were putting the key into their home, drag them into a wooded area, rape them. And he was like so demeaning, he would make them call themselves names and say that they deserved it. And if this wasn't enough, he would like sometimes sodomize them using like tree branches.
Oh my god.
Horrible.
Yikes.
I mean, this guy is awful.
Ugh.
Now, these rapes are happening over a year, and during this time, there are about a dozen victims in total. And most of the time, Carla remains totally clueless, thinking she's in this perfect relationship.
Wow.
Now, there's the last victim. She actually kind of gets a good look at her attacker, and there's a composite sketch made, and you can see it on my Instagram, at Indy Ash Flowers. So many people called in, like his friends, because it looks like someone drew a picture of this guy. So police actually end up bringing him in because they got so many calls. But they interview him for just 35 minutes because he seemed so normal.
Well, he's a psychopath. He can fake it. Hello? Are these policemen, you know, 5 minutes in on the job? They don't realize that?
So they end up just like letting him go. Before they let him go, though, they do collect his DNA.
Okay,
so
good.
You would think like he's going to get connected to these rapes.
Yeah, and what year was this?
This was around 1990.
Okay.
So they collect his DNA, but they just put it on the shelf.
Yeah, DNA was just becoming a thing.
Well, and they could have tested it, but they were like, you know, we have so many other better suspects. Like, let's just, you know, if we don't have anyone else, we'll get back to this
Even
guy.
Though all these people recognized him and said, this is your guy.
I'm surprised they didn't do it if everybody recognized him.
Wow.
If he matches the sketch.
Right.
So around this time, Paul starts testing the waters. And so he actually starts telling Carla that he's attacking women. And you would think
she'd run.
And like anyone would.
Yeah.
But no. She's like okay with it, so much so that the two get engaged.
Wow.
And they're engaged for about a year. And during this time that they're engaged, they're spending a lot of time with Carla's family. And as they're spending more time, Paul like gets this fascination.
I don't like where this is going.
Carla's younger sister,
oh,
Tammy.
No, Tammy.
And so Paul tells Carla about this, and he's like, I really want your sister. And again, this is like another great place that like any girl would be like, maybe I should leave you.
How old was this younger sister?
15.
Oh, no.
And he's like fantasizing about her sister, but Carla is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and she, instead of leaving him, decides that for Christmas that year...
No.
Stop.
She is going to offer up her sister to him.
Oh, no.
You can't make this up.
Justice
this is insane.
For Tammy.
So they go to Carla's house for like this normal family Christmas Eve dinner. They all have a nice time together. The parents end up going to bed, and Carla and Paul invite Tammy to stay up with them. Like, they're your cool older sister and her fiance, and they're like giving her some beers, like just trying to like be cool.
Yeah, butter up.
But they had laced her drinks with some tablets that knocked her unconscious. And after she was unconscious, Carla had actually stolen some drugs from the vet clinic that she worked at.
Oh, man.
And doused a rag with it, placed it over her mouth to like completely knock her out. And that's when Paul pulls out the video camera.
Oh, gosh.
So they not only attack her, but tape the entire attack. And not only does Paul attack her, but...
Stop.
He has Carla sexually assault own sister.
That is sick. So messed up.
Sick.
During this attack, Tammy begins choking on her own vomit.
Oh, no.
And ultimately, she ends up dying.
But oh, my gosh.
While she's choking, the two don't call police immediately. They finish assaulting her, clean up, redress her, like try to put away any sign of an attack, hide the video camera. And when police arrive, they basically tell police, you know, we have no idea what happened. We think that she was drinking. She probably just drank too much and threw up. And the police are just like, okay. Yeah.
Wow.
They don't run a tox screen. They don't run any kind of like rape kit. So the assault is never discovered. And you would think at this point, again, like Carla would be questioning her relationship. Like, your fiance sexually assaulted your sister. He had you sexually assault your sister. Your sister died because of this.
Well, if the police are on this guy's trail and they know that he's been in questioning and all these people said, this is your guy and you're sketching all this, and then they show up to his house and he's got a dead girl in there, that wasn't a red flag for the police?
It wasn't like this, even the same police. Like the first responders.
Okay, it was a different town?
Yeah, had no idea.
Well, why would that be a red flag though? Why would that? I mean, like, obviously she's dead, but if it looked like, oh, she must have drank too much or something, you know, and choked on vomit, that doesn't look like a sexual thing.
Well, you would think, because there's been other stories about this guy.
And sister was there too.
You would just hope, I mean, this girl's 15 either way. Like,
right.
You would hope they would do an autopsy and just make sure that's what's up.
Exactly.
So this isn't any kind of red flag, though. This accidental death awakened something in both of them, and the couple starts to plot how they can capture their next victim. So at this point in the story, they have killed Carla's sister. They got away with it. No one at this point even knows she was murdered. And they are, like, aroused by it. They love that they, like, killed her. They loved, like, everything they did to her. So now, instead of Paul just raping these people, it's, I don't know if it was Carla or them combined or what it was, but now they also want to keep killing. So the couple buys a house together, and in the house, there's a basement, which they use as this dungeon for their slaves.
Yikes.
And while walking one day, Paul sees a young girl. It's really late at night, and this is what he does. He, like, stalks neighborhoods. And so he's stalking this neighborhood late at night.
And where is this?
This is in Canada.
Oh, okay.
You're safe.
Okay, yeah, good.
So he's stalking this neighborhood, and this girl had gotten locked out of her house. Basically, there was a note on her door from her parents that said, "You missed curfew. You can sleep on the porch."
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. And this is so sad.
I can't imagine, like, how her parents... I don't know how they dealt with it after
this.
Oh,
my gosh.
But they locked her out of the house because she missed curfew as, like, to teach her a lesson. I mean, it was a safe neighborhood.
Yeah, I've heard of parents doing that before.
Yes. And so she goes into her backyard, and sitting in her backyard on a swing is Paul.
Stop. This is like a horror movie.
That is scary as hell.
That is so scary.
Now, but again, like, he's like this good looking guy. And
yeah, so, this couple is very attractive.
Yes, very, very, very attractive. So that he's sitting on her swing, and he offers her a cigarette, and he acts like he's just being nice, and, you know, they're talking about her getting locked out and no big deal. And that's when he pulls a knife on her and puts her into his car, like holds her up at knife point, takes her home, tortures her, rapes her, and again, all of this again on videotape with Carla. And they have her blindfolded, but at some point the blindfold slips off. And I don't know if it's because of this or if they had planned it all along. I think they planned it all along. But they decide to use the drugs left over from killing Carla's sister to kill this girl as well. And they hide her body for a while because Carla's parents are coming over for dinner that very night.
Ooh.
When they end up leaving, though, they're like, we have to get rid of this. So they end up cutting up her body into pieces in their basement, putting them in cement blocks, and then dumping them near a lake. Now, just 2 weeks after they committed this gruesome crime, 2 weeks after they chopped up a body in their basement, they got married. They had fairy tale wedding, like Disney princess. They had a horse and a carriage.
Wow.
And I am sure not a single person who attended their wedding, even for a second, thought that this was some kind of murderous couple. Shortly after their wedding, police end up finding that girl's body, but there's nothing to link it to Carla and Paul. But the couple wasn't done. They could not be satisfied. And after they get back from their honeymoon, Carla again decides to get Paul a gift, like a wedding gift. So in April of 1992, they go out looking for another victim. And they stop in front of this church to, like, set up this scene. So Carla is in the front of the car with, like, this map laid out on the hood. And she's pretending that she's lost. So this 15-year-old girl walks by.
Oh.
And she calls her over and asks for directions. And as soon as the girl gets close enough, Paul pulls her into the car. They take her back to the home, put her in the basement, and for several days, they videotaped her. They humiliated her, tortured her, sexually abused her, and she fought to survive, but they ended up killing her right before the couple left for Easter Sunday dinner with Carla's family.
That is so twisted.
This girl's body ended up being found a couple days later in a ditch. And now while they thought this was connected to the other girl, they again had nothing to connect it to these two people. And every time Paul lost one of his slaves, because they killed her, they didn't lose her, they killed her, he would blame Carla and he abused her. And each time the abuse got worse. So in January...
Well, I don't understand that. I thought they wanted to kill him. Why would he be mad at Carla?
I don't know. I mean, they're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, I don't know, you can't
understand.
He's
a controlling guy. He's just going to mess with her
head.
He's just all, manipulator.
Yeah. So in 1993, like, the abuse gets so bad, he had actually, like, beat her with a flashlight.
Ooh.
I mean, both of her eyes were, like, black and blue. So she ends up actually leaving him in 1993.
Oh, that's what it took?
Yeah. She gets separated. Yeah. You know, murder a bunch of women, but hit me with a flashlight and we're done.
I'm done. Hey, she's got at least some standards.
Clap on, clap off.
So while this is going on, keep in mind, they're still investigating this string of rapes that had happened years earlier. And the detectives finally get around to testing that DNA sample of Paul's.
Oh, it's about time.
So they find out that it is this guy, and they're like, holy crap, we need to do some, like, investigating on him. And they start looking into his life. They find out that Carla and Paul were separated at the time. So they bring Carla in for questioning, hoping to get any kind of evidence they can use against Paul. I mean, at this point, they don't even know if Carla's aware of what he had done. They don't know that it's connected to the murder still.
They don't know that they were both in on it.
Right. But realizing they were about to be caught, Carla ends up getting a lawyer, and she comes forward to tell them everything and make a deal with police. So she said, I'll tell you about all of the crimes he committed that you know about, the murders you don't know about, but in exchange, I want leniency. And Carla had claimed to be an abused wife. She said, I was forced, I was beaten, I was in fear of being murdered.
Yeah.
And they didn't have any proof at this point. The only proof, which they didn't know about yet, were those videotapes. And they had actually searched Paul's place, and where he hid the videotapes was in the ceiling. And it's amazing because police had gone in and even removed like ceiling tiles and like stuck their hand up there and was like feeling around, and they were just inches away from where the videotapes were. That would have changed everything.
Wow.
Because if they would have found that, it could have changed. I mean, it was clear Carla was not only assaulting these girls, but actively participating in killing them.
Right.
But with no proof of her involvement, they end up giving her a deal. Do you want to guess how much time she gets?
I feel like it's going to be really low. I bet it's only like a year.
No, not that bad.
Okay, okay.
4 to 7 years.
She gets 12 years, and then she gets released.
She's just out there?
Paul went to prison for life. Now Carla is. She got released after 12 years.
Uh-huh.
She ended up marrying her lawyer's brother.
Holy cow, how stupid could you be?
She has 3 kids now.
Stop.
And they moved over like abroad for a while, but it's rumored that she's like actually back in Canada with her kids and like goes and visits their school. And like all the parents are super upset about this because she wants to like volunteer and pick the kids up. And they're like, you are a psychotic murderer. Please get the heck away from
me. Yeah, you're not going to be in the PTO. Crazy. Hell no, right. PTO.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, so she's like out there living her life like it never
with children.
Happened.
Living her best life.
Wow. Wow, that is a fascinating murder, Ashley. Thank you for celebrating the Murder Monday anniversary with that one.
And as most people may not know, inspiration for this song. I'm a Barbie girl
in the Barbie world. It's actually about these people.
It is. It's
fantastic. You can see
what chap you up.
Yeah. Put you in my trunk. Yeah. You can see what they look like. Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. They really do look like Ken and Barbie. Fascinating stuff.
Ashley Flowers of Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana. Thank you so much. What a great Murder Monday. Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana is a nonprofit that receives no government funding. The entire program is run off donations. They are responsible for the arrest of over 5,000 criminals in Indianapolis. All donations are tax deductible. Help keep Indy safe by donating online. Go to crimetips.org.